Okay, in the middle of the page of Pei Aleph is where we left off last week. So he says basically, what does the pasuk mean when it says, "V'yadayta yem v'shevesa levavachu yishino ki Hashem hu elokim v'shemayim mimal v'aretz mitochas ein eid"? Ein eid does not only mean there's no other God. Ein eid means there's not even secondary things to God. The only thing that exists is Hashem Himself. And he gave the mashal of the neshama and the body. Okay, when the neshama leaves the body is dead. The same way if Hashem would leave the world is dead. So therefore, what is the power of the world? It's Hashem. But he says, the analogy of a neshama and a body, you cannot compare it all to the analogy, to the concept of Hashem and world. Why? The neshama and the body are two separate entities all the way back in the source. Because this creation, the existence of the body, does not come from the neshama. It comes from tipas aviv v'imei, it comes from the father and mother. The father and mother create the body. Hashem puts the neshama in. So therefore, the fact is that when a person dies and the neshama leaves the body doesn't disappear. Why doesn't the body disappear? Because the body is not created from the neshama. To say that if the neshama leaves, the body disappears. It doesn't work like that. The gam achre kein, and even after the person is born, and gedulim in neshmasi levada, the body doesn't grow from the neshama, because then you wouldn't gain any weight. He's speaking even in pregnancy. The baby grows by the mother's eating and drinking for the 9 months. And then by eating and drinking himself. So he says the neshama and the body is, the neshama does not create the body. The neshama gives life to the body. By Hashem, it's not that Hashem gives life to the world, which means there's a world and there's God, and God sustains the world. It's much more than that. Hashem creates the world, and Hashem makes the world exist. The neshama doesn't make the body exist. And therefore, the neshama leaves, the body is still existing. Chassidus explains, Alter Rebbe explains in various places, so why does the body begin to rot, and basically disappear, until you come to only skeleton? Because, granted, the guf has its separate chayas. The neshama doesn't create the body. The neshama does not make the body. But the body's existence is still dependent on the neshama, to a certain extent. And therefore, after a long period of time, after the neshama leaves the body disappears, except the bones that remain. But normally, the neshama, it's like you said, you put a battery, an engine in a car. If you take the engine out of the car didn't die. The car is existing. The body of the car is exactly the same. It just can't go anywhere. The neshama makes the body go. Hashem does not make the world go. Hashem makes the body be. And if Hashem would leave the world, it wouldn't be. No, he's not talking here about the nefesh olakis. He's speaking about the nefesh abamis. I mean, when an animal dies, the soul or whatever the animal life was, it has a certain animal soul. But when that leaves, the animal also dies. But that soul also doesn't create the animal. The gam achrik, mashenkin ashamayim v'aretz, and the other end though, when it comes to the heaven and the earth, shekol atzmusim muhusim, with our entire existence, Nisava may ayin the efes hamuchlet, that is created from absolute nothing. Rak bedvar Hashem veruach pi v'yisparach, only with the power of Hashem that's in it. V'gam adayin, and even now, needs of dvar Hashem le'elam is constantly within the world. V'shefeh b'hem tomid, and constantly sustains them. V'chol rega every instant. U'mahava esim tomid me'ayin liyesh, and creates them constantly, continuously, from nothing to something. Like the ray of the sun, the way it is, like we learned before, like you explained before, the rays of the sun, in the sun, are non-existent. Because when you look at the sun, all you see is the sun, the shemesh. You don't see rays in the sun, you see the sun. Even though there are rays in the sun, but the rays in the sun are one with the sun. When do the rays of the sun become rays? When they leave the sun. In fact, Chassidus says that Er HaShemesh is sometimes called Yesh Miayin. Because in the sun itself, they're ayin, they're completely bottled. There's no rays there. When do they become rays? When they leave the sun. By Elokus, the ray of Hashem, so to speak, that creates the world, the ray of Hashem is the speech of Hashem that creates the world. But unlike by people, when we speak, our words leave us. The words are not there anymore. By Hashem, there's no such thing as anything leaving God, because God's all over. By people, there's an expression, as we all know, once you talk, the words left you, it's too late. Like it says in Sfarim, the expression, before you talk, you control your words. After you talk, the words control you. Once you say the words, you can tape them, they're finished, they're out. So by Hashem, though, when he created the world with the speech, it's not the concept that the ray of Hashem, the speech of Hashem, left Hashem, because Hashem's all over. So it's the ray of the sun in the sun. It's the ray of Hashem in Hashem. So the whole existence of the universe is not even the speech of Hashem. All it is Hashem himself. And therefore the reality is, world is non-existent. I world exists is because Hashem, through the concept of Tzimtzum, allowed world to exist, even though it really doesn't. What do you mean it doesn't exist? The existence of the world is Hashem. That's it. The existence of the world is Hashem.
So there's no world other than Him.
Right.
Non-existent.
Nothing exists but Him.
He's the world.
He is the world. He is everything. This, that the world appears to be something, and it is, it's a real appearance, is because Hashem made something exist, even though it doesn't.
You know, real and appearance are two opposites. You know what I'm saying? Like, these two concepts are two opposites. They're two opposites.
Not necessarily. Water in a glass appears to be what color? Thomas Spiras.
That question again.
No, I'm answering a good question.
No, but you never understood it then.
What do you mean you never understood it?
Okay, I'm trying
to see it. All intents and purposes appears to be red, but it's really not red.
As far as you're concerned, what color is it?
If I think it's red, it's only because I'm making a mistake.
It's not a mistake. From your perspective, it's red. As far as you're concerned, in your world, it's red. In your world, it's red. Our perception is our world. Something exists, by definition, if it's able to be dealt with one of the, what's called the five chushim, or the five senses. If you see it, hear it, smell it, touch it, whatever, then it exists.
So you were given the senses to make us feel as if this world...
I'll give you a simple example, 1 second. If you walk into an empty room, okay, no, there's no furniture in the room, nothing, it's all taken out, and somebody walks into the room and says, there is nothing in this room. They say a statement, there's nothing in this room. Is that a real true statement, or it's a false statement? I'm talking about physical things. The truth is, the room is full of molecules and atoms and radio waves and television waves and zillions of things that exist in the room that we don't see. Right? But if a person says, there's nothing in this room, they're not a liar. They're saying the truth. Because from their perception, from their perspective, which is a real perspective, because the human perspective is based on the five chushim, then it doesn't exist. If I see red in my world, in my real world, it's red. If somebody says the water is red, they're not a liar. Because from their...
That doesn't mean they're lying, but that's their perspective. It doesn't mean it's eminent.
But their world is their perspective. Their world is their perspective.
But it's still not eminent.
Subjugated. It's not an objective reality.
In their world, it's real. In their world, it's real and it's emes.
In the physical world.
Right. And if it's in their world real, what they deal with in their world, that's the way it is.
Our perception of what it is not always true. I mean, if somebody says, in my world, I don't see God, it doesn't exist. It's not, that's not true.
Because in his world, God exists in a concealed way. They tell a story, you have to picture the words in English, but there was a father who was not from, and the kid was from. And the father wanted to tease his kid. Okay? So the father wrote him a note, says, just picture the words. The father wrote the son a big note, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. And later, the father's son didn't respond to the note. Finally, the father asked the kid, did you see my note? Did you see what I wrote? He said, yeah. He wrote, God is now here. Okay? If the glass is half full or half empty, it's perception, but they're both true. If somebody wants to close their eyes, and because they choose not to see it, they choose not to see it, and they say that the room is dark, that's a lie, because they're choosing something which is against the reality. Not their reality, reality. If somebody comes along and says, the room is dark for me, that's a true statement. But if somebody says the room is dark, that's not a true statement. Because the reality for everybody is that the room is not dark. And he chose to go against the real reality. If somebody chooses to say God is nowhere, okay, if they choose that, that's a perspective that if somebody says God is nowhere as far as I'm concerned, that might be a true statement. But you can't say God is nowhere because that contradicts the reality that you can't disagree with. If I say, the safer is black, yeah? If somebody comes along and says, I see the safer, it's yellow. He says, I don't care what you say, I see it's yellow. He's a liar. He says, but it's yellow. The fact is, you can't choose to do something which is contradictory to reality and say that's true. If the guy says, for me it looks yellow, maybe he's not a liar. So if somebody wants to say, come along and say God is nowhere, that's a false statement because it's not even real for their perspective. And they can't make that perspective for everybody.
Why isn't it real from their perspective?
Why isn't it real from the perspective of their...
If you want to look at this whole thing and say the glass is red and the water in the glass, it makes the water in the glass red, according to my perspective, you can say the same thing. A person can say, according to my perspective, there's no God.
But the water looks red in the glass for everybody. It's not for him, for me. It's for everybody the water is red.
So if everyone would say
so that's their lack of, that's their fault, and not fault, God forbid. I mean, it's their lack of seeing.
No, it's the truth. It's a genetic truth.
But
check in. No, it is.
I believe it's just a funny statement. Okay. So if everyone will say there's no God, that will make it true?
No.
So?
If everybody says in this room that now is day, is it going to make it true?
No, that's what I'm trying to get across. It's not what I think, it's what is. It's not my perspective, it's what is.
But what happens if somebody transforms the darkness to light, and therefore they say, you know, the difference between the optimist and the pessimist, that I see, this, you can't get better than the story in the Gemara, at the end of Makkos, with Rabbi Akiva, when they saw the fox running through the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and all the rabbis cried, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. So you say, why are you crying? He said, why are you laughing? He said, why, you know. So he said, what do you mean? A place that says Azara Kodiv Yumos, even a Kohen Gadol, if it wasn't Yom Kippur, he goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, he dies, and now Shu'olim Hilchuvay, now the foxes are running all over the place.
That's
so what did Rabbi Akiva say? That's why I'm laughing. Because now in this destruction, I see rebuilding. God forbid, if somebody's house burns down, all of a sudden you wake up tomorrow morning and there's a bulldozer outside your house knocking it down. Yeah? You're going to scream bloody murder. Right? You're going to be very, very upset. But if you hired somebody to knock down your house to build up a new house, you're going to be very happy that they finally came to work. Right? L'cheder, what's the difference? In both cases, they're knocking down the house. Why over here do you cry? And over here you laugh. You're happy. Even pay money to get it done. Why is that? Is knocking down a house good or bad? It depends why. If a person looks at darkness, if a person looks at Golus, let's say, and sees in Golus the only way to reach a level of connection with God that Geula, that Beis HaMikdash doesn't have, so they don't see darkness, they see light. Because they're seeing the ultimate purpose of the darkness, not the darkness. What do you think? Rabbi Akiva was brainwashed and he thought there was a Beis HaMikdash existing. Rabbi Akiva knew that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Rabbi Akiva was very upset. But what did Rabbi Akiva see? Rabbi Akiva saw, he had a deeper perception. He saw in darkness, he saw Elukus. So that's the perspective, but it depends how you look at things. What the purpose of it and what it is. If somebody looks at the world, the true perspective of world is that world is Elukus. It's a very high level to reach. If the eyes would have the ability to see, you would reach being a high level. Why doesn't the Eibishter give us that ability to see it? Because then we wouldn't have Torah mitzvahs. We wouldn't have reward and punishment. We wouldn't be able to accomplish what we can accomplish.
Because it would be the
chira. Correct.
That's the bottom line.
Right. Perception. If a 5-year-old kid is taking a math test, okay, and the problem is how much is 3 plus 2 and 1 plus 4 and 2 plus 6, yeah? And the kid comes, oh, what a hard test. Yeah? I think for most people in the room, it wouldn't be a very hard test. Now, is the kid a liar by saying it's a hard test? And can the parent come along and say, don't be stupid, everybody knows 2 and 6 is 8, and I mean, what are you getting crazy about? From the kid's proper perspective, it's a hard test. That doesn't mean the reality of an adult perception is that it's hard. That's all. Perception is relative. Reality isn't. Reality, our perception does not change reality. In our world, it changes reality. But not in the realistic reality of existence, our perception does not change it. In the realistic reality, it's wrong. In my world, it's right. In my world, the water is red. In the real reality, the water is colorless. That doesn't mean I'm a liar if I say the water is red. My perception on my level of reality is real. That's the whole difference. The Jew's job is to remove our false perception that the world is a separate entity that's not bottle, and our role in Torah Mitzvahs is to reveal the real reality of the world, that the world is really a lukus. So then the question is, if that's what Hashem wants, why did He make the world which reveals a lukus and finished? The answer is because then we wouldn't have avodah. We wouldn't be doing anything. What?
So what's the problem?
What's the problem with what?
With us not having any avodah.
You mean what would... Hashem should have made it no avodah. Mm-hmm. And what would be?
Nice,
peaceful world, no problems, no aggravations, no nothing, you do what you want. Because then you don't have Dira B'Tachtonim.
Well, Hashem is the world. Everything would be the right way and true to the Torah.
But that's not the enjoyment that Eibishter has. Hashem's enjoyment is not to have a world where everything is godly. Hashem says, my enjoyment is, when the world is awful and lousy and dark and terrible, right? Even though the Rebbe says the Eibishter in Shir Hashim, Hashem calls the world Basi Legani, it's my garden. The world is great, that the world's a garden of Hashem, it's utopia. But Hashem wants that we should have a world that's tachteinim, that doesn't feel God, that has all these problems and all these things, and over there make the dwelling place.
Is Basi Legani now, in the present, or will be?
Basi Legani refers to Matan Torah. But the Eibishter calls the world, the Matan Torah is constant. We say Neisa and HaTorah, Lashon Hayvet, present tense. Hashem is constantly giving the Torah. So Hashem is constantly coming into His garden. It's a little complicated. It's a lot complicated. I'll tell you a little secret. If life would be so easy, everybody would be bored.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Aren't we going to be bored when Mashiach
comes? No, because then the ultimate revelation of Elokus will be revealed. But that is dependent on what we do now. Hashem could have made the era of Mashiach at the beginning of creation. He did, by the way, before the Chatei Tzedas. But that's not what Hashem wants.
I know, He likes the torture.
Why do you have to look at it as torture if you can use a different word which sounds much nicer? It's called refinement. When you take... Are you starting a revolution here? If you take rawhide and you want to make it into something useful like parchment or leather, you have to torture the hide.
I get it.
In order for the Jews we're going to say when Mashiach comes and after the Vachon Shem Pesach says Eitcha Hashem Ken Aftabi, God, I'm going to thank you for cursing me. That's what it says in the Navua and Yeshaya Vachon Shem Pesach. No, we will see.
Everybody's going to say.
Then for sure everybody's going to mean it.
Because
now if you say it, they don't mean it.
Then we'll know why. Isn't that the whole idea? Because then we'll know why.
still might have a problem with it. So you know why? So
no, because
you're not going to have a problem with it. Could I give you a simple example?
So clear why.
You know what? Let me give you a simple example. In Gashmistika, living now, all of us in this room at one time were kids. And we were, quote-unquote, tortured by our parents. In simple English, it was called disciplined. But we were tortured.
That's not a good analogy.
One second.
No, it really is,
because
we're still
tortured. No, it isn't. We're not tortured by our parents.
I don't mean abused and tortured.
No matter what, it's
no. You ask kids... You ask kids when you time out them with this new thing. Nowadays they give a patch. Nowadays they give us a patch. Now they have timeouts, you know. You do a disciplining on a kid, they will tell you how cruel you are and how mean you are, and this is torture and this child abuse and you name it. And then when the kid gets older and they become parents, they look back and say, you know what? Thank God they did it to me. So when you have a different outlook, a different perspective, you see things differently. And that's what happened when Mashiach comes.
Sometimes they feel like that, but if the parents are really, you know, very difficult and very abusive, they don't think
that. I'm not talking about abusive. Again, I didn't say abusive, God forbid. Yeah, then you're right, for sure.